Pastor Jay has been with us, my goodness, been a part of my life since 1997, when I wanted to kind of run away from my job. Anybody ever want to run away from your job? Go see this guy. He'll put you back on target. So would you lift your hands towards him? We want to release a blessing upon him. Father God, we just ask that you would just please touch through my brother what you have already prepared in his heart for this night. And Lord, let him have freedom to obey you on every level. In Jesus' name. Amen? So we're going to bless you with a nice little microphone and we'll let you go to work. Thank you.
It's good to be with you again, and I want to give honor to the Lord. His presence has come to be with us tonight. Let's just give him a wave offering. We love you tonight, Lord, and we appreciate you very much. Acknowledge your presence. And I'm so thankful that we serve a personal God who came from the splendors of glory and walked these streets with us, dusty streets. And he's high and lifted up tonight, and he knows everything that we go through, very well acquainted. Let me ask Dave to help me tonight. I brought along here some stones, and I'd like everyone to take one if they would. There's different color ones, different styles, some smooth, some rough, some natural, and some man-made. I'd like everyone just to take one. It'll help you with bringing the message tonight and help you to remember. You know, the Bible says to lay aside every sin and weight that so easily besets us. And we've all experienced different things. The rock of offense, been offended. The weight of growing up in less than a perfect family. Economic turndowns. Losing a job, possibly, or having trouble meeting our expenses. Maybe a child that's brought a lot of hurt to our hearts. Didn't meet our expectations or theirs. And the Lord also says to put all of our care upon him because he cares for us. We're going to leave that by the doorway. And if you want to just hang on this stone while the message is going on, when you leave tonight, you can leave your weight. Hallelujah. Just want to invite you to come. International Celebrate Missions, we're having a conference a week from Friday and Saturday in Albany. You're more than welcome to come. And one of the speakers is Wade Taylor, is my father in the Lord, has been speaking in my life for over 40 years. Whatever I've become hasn't all come through him, but I believe it's come because of him. Because I'm related to him, and it goes all the way back to Melchizedek. And then a blessing from Melchizedek comes all the way down to me, and hopefully you'll receive a blessing tonight. So you're welcome to come. And here is a newsletter about I Am Missions around the globe. The Lord's having us work on 5 different continents. Just thankful for all that he's raised up. We have 2 discipleship training schools in Pakistan tonight. Pakistan's on the news all the while. But there's about 35 young people and older people are being trained for the ministry there. Isn't that good? We also have work in Sudan, very difficult country at this time, very difficult. And we have some work in Haiti, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. So the Lord has helped us to go after the least, the last, and the lost. And I want to thank you for your contributions individually and corporately into that ministry, because you take part in the harvest. We can't all go. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. Is that right? And we are living in times of great change. My, my, my. Things are happening so quickly, aren't they? I have an iPhone now where I can give my GPS location, send email, receive email, go on the web. got all 1,200 names or more of addresses in there, 14 versions of the Bible, all on a little telephone you carry in your pocket. Isn't that amazing? Wow. And I always say, Lord, with all these things, I pray that I can get a download from you, that I can hear from you. And may this be a reminder that you know my location at all times. And then I can beam up or get a download at any and all times. And I want to urge all of us in the press of the agenda we're in with all the technology in that day, you take some time each day to wait upon the Lord. With no agenda, find a chair somewhere. Just, I'm waiting, Lord, with expectation. And just see what the Lord might speak or whatever. Sometimes you're going to get up and feel as though nothing has taken place and yet something did, because you'll feel the anointing on you that day. And you know, the older I get, I want to be loved, appreciated, understood. Can you relate to that? And I believe that's the way the Father is. I know food, clothes, shelter, I know you need all those things. That's okay. You'll have them. But I want relationship with you. I want intimacy with you. I have so much I want to share with you. And I want you to know that He laid down His life for every burden, everything that's come our way that's been heavy on our hearts. And we're living in a difficult season. It's a wonderful season to be alive, but it's also a difficult season. Wow, things are happening. I was through college before I knew what drugs was. Now a 5-year-old knows what drugs is. Wow. And I believe the Lord wants us to be totally surrendered to Him. I have a pen here. And I want you to know that this pen is utterly submitted to me. That I can write with this pen. I can put it in my pocket. I can lay it down. It's totally submitted to me. May I be totally submitted to the Lord. That He can write upon my heart. That He can write something through me. How many of you know that this black shirt that I'm wearing is totally submitted to me, covering my body? Totally. If somebody else owned it, it couldn't do the job that it's doing tonight. It's totally surrendered to me for my use. Oh, that we could be totally surrendered to the Lord. That He could clothe us, embrace us, warm us. Oh, Lord, I just want to be totally and absolutely surrendered to You. This part of this building here is totally surrendered to worship, to praise, to instruction in the things of God. Isn't that wonderful? And so I want to encourage you to be totally surrendered to the Lord and see what He will do in your life. Now I'm going to share a few things that might seem a bit strange to you, but let's pray first. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, to glean some things about the splendor of Your beauty, to take inventory of our own life, Lord, and, Father, to have all the old accounts settled. Lord, I pray You'd give us an awakening, a sovereign gift of repentance. You'd work deeply in us. Lord, tonight we exchange our reliance on our own intelligence for a complete dependence upon Your Spirit for You to do the work in our life. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To every life, there's an end. There's a last meal for everyone. There's a last breath that everyone will take. My mother's mother, who knew the Lord, I was holding her hand when she was breathing slower and slower. And the last word she said to me is, "I love you, Jay." We exchanged, "I love you too, Grandma." She breathed slower and slower and finally was ushered into the presence of Jesus. What a way to go. All the account was settled horizontally and vertically. And where none of us are certain when this might come. Oh, Lord. But you know what? I've observed that people die pretty much the way they lived. A man was telling me he was in a plane crash in the Canary Islands years ago, and the plane was on fire, and part of the passengers were killed, and others were hurt, and some were unhurt. And as they were getting out, he said there was screams, cursings, vile things being said, and there was other people praising God and thanking God. People died pretty much the way they'd lived. And I heard about a man who owned a whole string of restaurants. And they got down to the last end, and he was just about ready to breathe his last breath, and his family was all around. And Bob, he was about to say something. They were all listening intensely. What was he going to say? And what he said was, "Slice the ham thin." All these restaurants give him lots of potatoes, but slice the ham thin, making money, and that was his last thing. Abbott and Costello, you remember Abbott? You know what his last meal was? Was a strawberry milkshake. And when he got it done, he said, "That was the best strawberry milkshake I've ever had in my life." That was his last words. Isn't that something? But Nathan Hale, who was 21 years of age in the Revolutionary War when he was being hung by the British, he said, "I regret that I have but one life to give for my country." People die the way they live. And I was thinking about Peter, 2 Peter 3:18, the last words we got of St. Peter. 2 Peter 3:18. "Finally, brethren, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus." He had denied the Lord 3 times. And then later the Lord asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" And after maybe 25 years, at the end of his life, he's saying, "I've got this thing figured out, brethren. Grow in the grace and knowledge of who he is. You can't live this in your own strength. It's only in him." And then I was thinking about Paul, 2 Timothy 4:6-8. 2 Timothy 4:6-8. "And I've fought the fight. I've kept the faith. There's laid up for me a crown, not only for me, but for all those who love his appearing." Oh, towards the end of his life, what great words. "I've done what God has asked me to do. There's a crown laid up." So he's urging those who are left behind, "Press on. Apprehend, lay a hold of that for which God laid a hold of you." I was thinking about the way some of the last words that David said, 1 Chronicles 28:20-21. And he says to his son Solomon, "My son, be strong, be not dismayed, for the Lord my God will be with you all your days. He will not leave you. Be not dismayed. And here are all the Levites and every workman, everyone that's needed for the work of a house. And they will not leave you until the work is accomplished." Boy, he knew what God had done in his life. And he's telling his son, "God was with me. God's going to be with you. The people are going to be with you. You're going to accomplish what God has ordained you to do." Amen. Praise God. So pretty much people die the way they live. And may we, when we come to the end of our life, may we live in great faith and die in great faith. If you knew that you could only say 7 sentences before you died, what words would you choose? Got 7 sentences left. And you know, the last words speak volumes about a person. And Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus, when he was facing the end of his life, earthly life, the words, the 7 last sentences he said, are illuminating, revealing. They're very instructive to us. Do you know how often he referred to others on the cross rather than himself? Or that declaration, "I thirst." Why does that have such a long significance? "I thirst." What does that mean? What does it mean when he said, "It is finished"? Or how do those seven statements apply to my life? Boy, I get so burdened down sometimes. I don't know about you. Weights and sins and things happen. And I'm thankful that the Lord has paid the price. You know? And His last trial on that cross led to the greatest triumph for you and for me. And out of that, we should know how much He cares for us and how completely we're forgiven and how He'll bear every one of our burdens, that we can lay all of our care upon Him, for He cares for you, and that the Lord wants to have a vibrant relationship with each and every one of us, an ongoing relationship. Thank you, Lord. Let's give Him a clap offering of thanks. Thank you, Lord. We love you tonight. We appreciate you tonight. And I'm going to read some from John chapter 19. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged Him. Oh, terrible. Terrible. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on His head. And they put on Him a purple robe saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck Him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I'm bringing Him out to you, that you might know that I find no fault in Him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to Him, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw Him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" Pilate said to them, "You take Him and crucify Him. I find no fault in Him." Some of that same crowd a few days earlier were taking off their garments and had palm branches saying, "Hosanna, save me now." Oh, Lord, I want to be loyal to You all the days of my life. Whether my life works out the way You, way I think it should, or whether every blessing comes the way I think it should, I want to be loyal to the Lord. How about you? And verse 11 here, when Pilate is talking to Him, you know, he says, "What is truth?" You know, there's truth standing before Him, and he's asking, "What is truth?" And Jesus answered, "You could have no power against Me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivers Me to you has the greater sin." Yes. Then, dropping down to verse 17 in John 19, "And He, bearing His cross, went out to a place called the Skull," which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, "where they crucified Him. And two others with Him, one on either side, and Jesus was in the center." I've been to the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. Peter Whitehouse and I were there together, and we went in there, and you could feel the presence of the Lord. And as we were coming out, there was 300 or 400 people outside, a whole bunch of tour buses had come. And he had his 12-string guitar, and we just stood there and say, "I am the resurrection and the life, he who believeth in Me. Though he be dead, yet shall he live." And all those people joined in, and we began raising our hands. It was glorious. When that was all over, we found out that all those people were Mormons. But the presence of God was so strong, they had to enter in and they had to raise their hands up. Isn't that amazing? God can supersede.
Amen.
So we thank You, Lord, for that. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And then if you drop down about verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross Jesus, His mother, and His mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene." I thank God for the women. Thank God for the women in the church, or a lot of churches wouldn't be. William Booth, who started Salvation Army, said, "My few good men have been women." Oh, men, may we be real men of God and stand up. May we go out and touch other men with this gospel. Hallelujah. When Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved, being John, standing by, He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. He cared for his mother in the last hours. Isn't that something? Cared for the one who was closest, and there was the 12. It was Peter, James, and John, but among them was John, who was the closest. He cared for John, too, that he would have a mom. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and gave it to his mouth. So when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. No one took it. He offered it up freely for us. Isn't that wonderful? Then verse 34, but one of the soldiers then pierced his side with a spear immediately, and blood and water came out. A broken heart. They did not break his legs because his spirit had already gone. And that was a fulfillment of Scripture. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body. And Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Wow. Nicodemus was coming out in the daytime now. He was showing that he was a believer. He was born again. So they laid Jesus in the tomb. And then chapter 20 says, on the first day of the week. Say, on the first day of the week. On the first day of the week. There's women again. Mary Magdalene. Went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb, so they ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter. I always think of Peter as some big bully, kind of like a motorcycle guy. But John, as a younger man, probably 145 pounds, new sneakers on like Pastor, he outran him. And, you know more of the story as it goes on. But Jesus made his concern for us very passionate in these last statements that he made. These were statements he made on the cross when he was full of pain. And they're powerful statements. They have a strong meaning. And I've been impressed the last few days just thinking about these seven last statements. And the first one he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do we realize that we need the Father's forgiveness? Time and time again. And He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I love what Stephen said over in the book of Acts when he was being stoned. He said, Lord, don't lay this to their charge. In the Bible there says that Jesus, who was sitting on the right hand of the Father, when Stephen started talking about, he had to stand up and look. He said, there's a man who is passing from life the way I did. I cannot take this sitting down. I got to view this man. Oh, Lord, help us to have the virtue and strength and the oneness with you that when people give us a rock of offense, don't honor us, misuse us, that we can pray and say, forgive them, Lord. For they know not what they do. Help me, Lord. When I started ministry many years ago, and I had a lot of live-in ministry, the gossip in our town was, there's a Jim Jones. I knew I wasn't Jim Jones, and I knew what God had spoken to my heart, but they didn't know. But I'm still in that town, and some of those people are my friends today. But sometimes you have to forgive people. For they don't know what they're really doing. Sometimes your own children say things to you. You don't love me. You don't care about me. Come on. But logic doesn't work. But forgiveness does. Then the second statement he said was, today you will be with me in paradise. Think about it. Two thieves. Both guilty, an innocent man. Both thieves are seeing the innocent man dying, hearing words out of his mouth, having the same experience, and one comes to the conclusion, if you be God, save yourself and save us, mocking him. And the other man said, be quiet. Can't you see this is an innocent man? And when you go to paradise, remember me. Amen. He didn't have time to get baptized. Go to Sunday school. He didn't have time to do anything. Join Full Gospel Movement. He couldn't do anything. But Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And haven't you seen that in life, how two people can see the same thing? I've seen it. You go to a service, and one person goes, man, what a word. The other person goes, boy, that was dry, wasn't it? Both heard the same. But today you will be with me in paradise. I'm thankful that if we recognize who Jesus is, that he'll take us to be with him. When I ever hear of anybody real sick, I always go to the hospital. And I always urge people, if they can't do anything else for 2 weeks, just say Jesus. Just say Jesus. Say Jesus! All who call upon his name shall be saved. I've had a privilege of leading people to salvation at the end. Hallelujah. This day, you can be with him in paradise. Thank you, Lord. And I want to ask you, do you often realize and confess that Jesus is your Savior? Do you do that when you're out in public, when you're on your job, when you're with unbelievers? Jay, you're cracked. I know, that's where the light comes in. I'm a fanatic, that's right. People know we're a Pentecostal, full gospel, one God, apostolic tongue talking, holy, Roman, born again, heaven bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus. We might as well live up to our reputation. Is that right? And confess, he's my Lord, hallelujah, not be ashamed. And the third thing he said was, woman, behold your son. Jesus is concerned about us, and he'll always provide for us. Things are changing, economics are changing, but he will always provide for us. He's still got ravens. He's still got somebody who's putting grain away somewhere. He's still got somebody building an ark. There's something. There's provision for us. Amen. Let's all say that. There's provision for us. And he will provide for us. Yeah. You know, Proverbs says this, that the righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. He leaves an inheritance for his grandchildren. Amen. The righteous man. And if you read the last 10 verses of Isaiah 58, read them again. Isaiah 58, the last 10 verses. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? That you extend your soul to the hungry. That you satisfy the soul that's afflicted. That you would take up justice issues. That you would be a builder, a restorer. That you would stop pointing the finger. It's very easy to point the finger. The world, this, that. They're following their master. That's all they know. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, give Bring an awakening in Springfield. Bring an awakening in this area, Lord. Do something great. That you loose the bonds that have people bound up. That you undo heavy burdens that people have. You know the heartache you and I have experienced from time to time. And we know the Lord. Think of those who are so burdened down and don't know the Lord. Oh, Jesus, help us. That you set the oppressed free. Oh, Jesus, in your name, hallelujah. In your name, Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be set free. As I'm getting older, I like to just encourage people, the approbation and favor of God's upon you. You are loved. You are appreciated by Him. You are the apple of His eye. You are loved unconditionally. There's nothing you could do to make Him love you anymore. He who has begun a good work in you will continue it all your life. You can lay your cares upon Him because He cares for you. You know, we've heard those words, but may it be our portion, and when we would share, may there be an anointing upon it. God loves you. He does. Very much so. Wow. When I came in, I saw that seat. I said, that's a special seat. It is. Hallelujah. It's good. Praise the Lord. That you break every yoke. That same spirit be in you which was in Christ Jesus shall quicken your mortal body. Come on, you older folks. I'm old too. Ah! Come on, be quickened. Be quickened! Don't be in some rocking chair going back and forth to some nursing home. Come on! Get a pogo stick and start practicing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Really, you know, the enemy and life and the burdens get us down like this. There was a snake that came out, remember?
Yeah.
Paul, on the island, when he was shipwrecked, he flinched it off. Amen. Say that with me, flinch it off.
Flinch it off.
I'm feeling better just saying those things.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Go find your second cousin, your nephew, your niece, your brother. Go find your family that has put some burdens on you, threw some rocks at you. Go touch their life. July 17th to 19th, over to my house. We're having a family reunion. Got over 100 people come. Got some come from Alaska, California, Texas, all over the place. Gonna have a family reunion. 3 days. Pony rides. Chicken barbecue, hay rides, man, old pictures. We're going to be doing everything. How it's going to cost me a lot of money. I don't care. Come on, family from the four winds. Come on, let's get together one more time. No. You know what? And some of my older aunts and stuff are like in their 80s. They're weeping over this. Mm-hmm. They're weeping over it. Oh, I haven't seen them. Oh, they're coming off. It's Isaiah 58. Don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Wow. So Jesus was concerned. Statement 4, my God, why have you forsaken me? Think of this. Jesus was forsaken so that you and I don't have to be.
Amen.
He took all of our sin and iniquities and transgressions upon Him. And the Father turned His face from Him. He was our burden bearer so that we never have to be forsaken. Oh, boy, I just felt the warmth of the Lord come over me when I said that we never have to be forsaken. Whew. He will never leave us or forsake us, the Word says. Oh, I don't feel the Lord, though He's closer to you than you are to yourself. Because He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'll never have to be forsaken. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then he said, I thirst. And that reminds me that Jesus was not only God in the flesh, but he was human also. He was true man and true God. And he knows what it is to be thirsty. This is the first of a personal nature statement where he's talking about himself. All these others are talking about others. But now he says this. John 19:28-30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on hyssop and put it in his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, bowed his head, and gave up the spirit. They say that thirst is the most agonizing pain you can have if a man is dying of thirst in the desert. Because every cell in your body is crying out for moisture. And the thirst he was experiencing in the natural because of the tremendous loss of blood. But beyond that was he was bearing all the sins of the world. I don't know about you, but I've committed some sins that have just hurt me terribly. Why did I do that? I felt terrible over it. Have you? And some things you just carry and you pray and you just carry it. But just think, one sin made me feel that way, and he took all of our sins, of everyone, all the tremendous load. And he said, I thirst. Think the one who created water is saying, I'm thirsty. He was a man with no sin at all, and yet he voluntarily chose to take the limitations of a human body. He made of himself no reputation. He laid down the possibilities of relating to this experience as God. He related and felt everything in the natural. He humbled himself. He emptied himself. Wow. And he did not allow himself to enjoy the privileges of deity at that moment. Wow. So he could experience what men and women experience. That's why we can come to him so boldly in time of need. He knows what we've been through. He has felt it to the nth degree. He knows what it's like to be hungry, to be sleepy, to need a shower, to be sorrowful. He went through all these human experiences. And here he's saying, I'm thirsty. I want to say to you tonight, have you been misjudged? Have people wondered about you? Have you been misrepresented? Have those nearest you turned away from you sometime? Did not understand? Jesus knows what it's like. He knows what it's like. Hebrews 2:17-18 says, therefore, it was necessary for Jesus to be in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. He then could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself had gone through suffering and temptation, he is able to help us when we're tempted. Thank you, Lord. I thirst. That reminds me of a story back in John chapter 4 where he's with the disciples and said, you men go and get something to eat. I'm going to stay here by the well. Word of knowledge. He knew there was going to be a woman coming by. And there was a woman that came by. This woman had been ostracized, isolated because of her behavior. She was looked down upon because of her immoral lifestyle. And then Jesus has a fantastic dialogue with her at the well. He unfolded for this woman truths about how to know God on a personal level. And he says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whatever well you drink of, lady, you're going to thirst again. Oh, you got a new car? Oh. You'll thirst for another one. Oh, you got a new dress? You'll thirst for another one. Got a new lazy boy chair? You'll thirst for another one. Isn't that true in life? Oh, you had a good meal, Dennis? You'll thirst for another one. Nothing satisfies completely, does it? And this woman was looking to be satisfied with men she was married to, been divorced, and now living with somebody she wasn't married to. And really, Jesus is saying, honey, you don't need a man. You've got to learn how to worship God. Because this water you're drinking, this lifestyle you got, you're going to just be more and more thirsty. But if you'll drink the water that I offer you. You see, people, you and I all know people who are shooting up, drinking beer, doing whatever they're doing to trying to get satisfied. We all hunger and thirst, don't we? Thank God for His grace that we didn't find Him, He found us. Thank You for Your grace that You've saved us, oh God. And with all my thirsting and hungering, I can go to You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. He was really saying to this woman, there's no man who can meet the deep inner needs of your life. Only God can. Are you learning that? It's only found in Jesus. You see, Ecclesiastes says, God has put eternity in everybody. And that thing that's been put in us can only be satisfied with God Himself. There's people drinking at the well of career. Some are drinking at the well of hunting and fishing. Drinking at the well of politics. The well of experiences. You know, young kids now, they want to get tattoos. They want to do bungee jumping. I have one daughter. She strapped the camera on her a few years ago and went on this huge bungee jump down about 300 feet and come up. Then a few days later, she went up in an airplane, jumped out with a parachute and had to... Then she brings this video home for me to look at. You do that again, girl. I'm going to whip you. I don't care how old you are. Well, thank God she's doing better these days. Married, got a child, just settled down. She's not bungee jumping and doing all that. But she was experiences. But it doesn't satisfy, does it? You know, or some are trying to drink at the well of possessions. I'm thankful in one way the economics are changing because sometimes we can get closer to God when we're simpler. Hallelujah. Maybe we can take a little time instead of running the agenda, just spend some more time. Jesus said, I thirst. I thirst. Because He thirsts, we don't have to, brethren. We don't have to go thirsting after empty things. We can be satisfied with our relationship with Him. He was offered sour wine mixed with gall on a sponge. You know what it really was? It was a painkiller. And He didn't partake of it. He wanted to take all of this with His full mental faculties. He turned away from the sedative to bear my sin and your sin. I want to just tell you, when we do get to our last meal, towards the end of our life, think about not being in a hospital with 42 needles and you beep, 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 and half in your mind, half out of your mind. You know, old folks, they used to die at home. That's right. And you know what? They'd have experiences. Yes. My great aunt, she had tuberculosis. I wasn't there at the time, but my grandfather said she was laying down, could hardly breathe, terrible, terrible. And all of a sudden sat up, glorious, with her arms up and said, do you see the angels? They're here for me. And she laid down and was gone. Now, if she was drugged up, she wouldn't have had that experience.
Amen.
Jesus said, I don't want that stuff. Hallelujah. He was going to bear the crucifixion and all of its pain. Oh, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done on the cross for me. And then that sixth statement, he said, it is finished. He has paid for our sins and sin's control over our broken life. Not only does he forgive me of my sin, but he's broken the power of sin in my life. Wow, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. It is finished. Those sins have been paid for. They've been buried in the deep sea. They've been thrown behind your back as far as the east is from the west. I'll never have to face them again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Boy, these seven statements, aren't they profound? So much in them, isn't there? And then that seventh one. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You know what? We can commit our life into the hands of our Heavenly Father who cares for us. Wow. And isn't that what we do as pastors when we have a committal service? Into thy hands, Father. We give, we trust the spirit of this departed loved one to you. You who cared for her and him or her all through her life and cared for her from a baby on up to this time. We commit. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your great love and for your great mercy. I just want to encourage you. Whatever sin or weight that's in your life, know that it was totally paid for on the cross. Totally paid for. The price was totally paid for. And no matter what you've gone through, my father died. I felt bad. I loved my dad. November 5th, 1988, I loved my dad. I held his hand when he gave his last breath. And then a few days after, we're talking with my mother, my brother, and my sister and I. My brother turns to me and says, I never have trusted your motive, Jay. It's hard to hear. But I've continued to love my brother. And 21 years later, we met 6 o'clock this morning, spent 2.5 hours together. But, you know, I had to make a choice. That statement could be, I'll never talk to him again. You know how the temptation comes. Yeah. Or, Father, forgive him because he knows not what he does. Then I couldn't have had this 2.5 hours with him this morning. We met at 6 this morning. I'm not lifting myself up. I'm just saying we all have to make decisions. We all have to make decisions. Make the right ones. Make godly decisions. Make the decision Jesus would make. And God will give the grace. Some people would rather be right than be president. It doesn't make who's right or wrong. Hide not yourself from your own flesh. Take on the lifestyle of Jesus. Bear about the dying of the Lord Jesus in your body. Wow. And you know, I believe the world is really waiting for the church to come alive. And that we can have good services here. Let's continue to have them. But then when we're down to Burger King, we're on the job, we're getting our car greased, whatever we're doing, that the character and power of Jesus is being lived in and through us. You know, I've tried a little experiment when I stop for a cup of coffee or get a hamburger or something, and the waitress waits on me. I always say, you're a good waitress. Thank you. You know what? Every one of them always say, thanks. Wow, thank you. They're overwhelmed because everybody gives them grief. You didn't cook it right, you didn't do this right. Just try to bless people wherever we go, you know? Wow. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help us not to be defensive. Help us not to react in the flesh, Lord. Lord, may this lifestyle that you've demonstrated be lived out in us. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Lord, send your Spirit to rule and reign in our hearts, Lord, powerfully, Lord. Melt us down, Lord, to nothing but Jesus and Him crucified. And Lord, tonight, I thank you that you have not given us strength to carry stones of offense and burdens, but you said, lay all those cares on me, for I care for you. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, I pray a blessing upon Pastor Kim and all those that assemble here, Lord, and all those who will come in the days ahead, Lord, to just worship you and to be discipled. I pray a blessing and open heaven over this place, Lord. I pray for greater Springfield and the surrounding area, Lord, for a sovereign gift of repentance, for an open heaven, for an awakening, Lord, for many to come to the oasis, Lord, and be refreshed in Jesus. And Father, do a deeper work in our hearts. A deeper work in our hearts, Lord. For we pray in Jesus' name. I was talking to a rough guy a while ago. Rough guy. Rough. Rough man. When I got ready to go, he says, hey, Jay, if I win the lottery, I'm going to take you out and treat you up, man. Well, I said, John, would you really like to do that? He said, yes. I said, you're on, man. Give me the call. That was not the time for me to tell him, I don't play lotteries. I'm not going to go paint the town at a bar. You know what he was really saying? If I'm ever blessed, I like you, and I want to share my blessing with you. That's what he was saying. Yes, John, you're on. Give me a call. Hallelujah. I pray that God would help us all to see our brothers or relatives and people come in contact, see their heart beyond their words and their actions, and see their need. Hallelujah. And you know what, brethren? If we can get it all settled with Jesus and get rid of these things, get rid of them all. Where's that bucket? I'm getting rid of this thing right now. Yeah. Wow. Good, I feel better. Oh, I feel better. Here, see if anybody else wants to feel better, Dave. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Bob, you had a man-made rock. Boy, and people put things on you they made, right? That was blacktop. I took a walk 2 miles yesterday to find a piece of blacktop to have in that bucket, and you got it.
It felt different.
Yeah. Well, Lord bless you, keep you. May you all keep sweet in Jesus, all right? Love yous, and I want to thank you for your support and friendship, and trust the message with some help.
Yeah. Why don't you give them a little tiny bit of a praise report about the building and the progress?
Okay, we are our church building. We've started sheetrock. I'm hoping maybe in 3 months the building will be done. It's been a real arm wrestle job because
don't know about your loss. So.
Yeah. Okay. June 28th of last year. Nobody was at our church. We had a large metal building, real large. I was 60 miles away, and I got a call the church is on fire. And when I got back there, there was 9 fire companies there all day. And when it got all done, it was a total loss. Huge building, 10,000 square foot. And all my books and my notes for over 40 years of ministry, all gone. Keepsakes, you know. Family, Bibles, you know, everything you think of. And I had people around there, some of my people. I was married there. I was baptized there. They were weeping. some of the firemen were even weeping. And so many of the firemen came up to me and said, you've got to rebuild. We need you. They didn't even go to church, but they're prophesying to me. So the state building codes have changed so much. We had to demo the building. We did that ourselves. We had to take out all the cement. And then the town and the county would not let us use our own dirt. We had to take all the dirt out. It cost us $8,000 to truck the dirt out. And we gave it to the fire company for fill because they wanted fill that had more percolation. So it is a complete new building, and the one we're putting up is all one story. It's larger, and it's super insulated. Some of the features of it, when you walk in, there's a youth office, a teen room right there, because we want to work with the children right away. And then as you go and hang up your coat, there's a nursery room, a nursing room, 3- and 4-year-olds, and the bathroom's right there by them. And as you go in a little further, we have a huge kitchen. The kitchen's as big as this whole thing here. Going to have 2 stoves, 2 refrigerators, washer, dryer. And then there's a great room that we're calling the Chapel Cafe. You'll see 100 people around round tables. Some of the things we want to do is have it open a couple mornings a week for senior citizens like me. Can go there and have a coffee and a muffin. Open a couple afternoons where our high school kids after school can come there and talk and whatever. And there's a gas fireplace over here in order top. Listen to this. This is funny. We wanted to get one of those like 56-inch TVs because, so we have a video feed and everything. So one day we just felt, this is the day to go buy appliances. So we went to appliance store and I walk in and start talking to the guy and just tell him about the fire. Now he said, well, I'm in the 17th day of a Daniel fast. And one of the things, that TV is $2,000. And when we were talking, he says, you can have that for $1,000, half price. What are the chances of finding somebody in the 17th day of a Daniel fast when you go to an appliance store? You know? And then the sanctuary area, and there's a sound room, and there'll be theater lighting, beautiful sound equipment. It's much larger than we need, but we're believing for a huge harvest. And also, we're in a rural area. Everyone in the area says this is the nicest building in all these mountains. It'll be a place where people can come and find the Lord, find a healing touch. And we really want to reach out to children and seniors and everyone in between. So anyways, we've been putting the building up, and insurance company, we've had to wrestle with, and state building code is, I'm even losing more hair. But we don't have enough to finish, but I'm believing we're going to finish this building without owing a penny. That's the word the Lord gave us, so how it all will work out, but we're going to let you know. Maybe you want to come. We'll have like a 3-day dedication and so on. And you know, it's a walk of faith. I never dreamt after 40 years, some years of ministry, I'd be building a church. I never dreamt of any of these things, you know. But God knows what He's got planned. And I felt during this, God gave Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me. And I will show you great and mighty things you know not of, son. Okay. Let's give him a clap offering of thanks. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I think that was an awesome commercial, sir. Didn't you enjoy the commercial? Initiation to Pastor Jay came in the midst of a trial for my life in 97, and I was kind of rehearsing some of that today. And this gentleman has been above all faithful on the job. Every time that we had a need, he's come to our aid. Every time we have circumstances that were difficult, he stretched towards us and manifested, connected with us so that we could become more and more
what God had called us to be. Now, we're not supposed to be like him, but we're supposed to be like the big guy up on top, you know. The one that resurrected and said, yes, it's finished. But it's not finished for our brother. He's got a little more work to do. So this is what we would propose to you. If you will just bow your heads. Holy Spirit, without you speaking, we're going to do natural things. But I'm asking for you to teach and counsel my brothers and my sisters as to what you're to give towards this brother and his need and for the church and what our job is to rebuild and help him rebuild what you have need of for the Albany area. And so, Lord, I know that you're going to speak. And I'm asking you to just give us the courage to obey and the grace to carry it out. And all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.